I'm gonna stab you. So we went
as I travel down the back roads of this home I love so much. Every carpenter and cowboy, every lame man on a crutch, they're all talking about a feeling, about a taste that's in the air. They're all talking about this mighty wind that's blowing everywhere. Oh, a mighty wind's a-flowing, it's kicking up the sand. It's blowing out a message to every woman.
In the cellar when it's gone. Drink, drink, the glasses clink, making tinkly music till the dawn is breaking. Clang, clang, who cares a dang? What's the difference when you're on a spree? Over the teeth, behind the gums, look out, stomach, here she comes. I have another drink on me.
Hello there. How we doing, girls?
Howdy.
And Nate. We're back with another episode of DFC.
Drunk Film Commentary.
What's that name?
Drunk Film Commentary.
I am your host, Jason. With me on my left, I have Nadia. Hello, Nadia. How are you?
Hi, I'm your favorite nurse. You just don't know it yet.
All right. We got Jolene over here. Welcome back.
Hi, Jolene. Thank you.
And we got Nate coming in.
He's here.
The movie we're talking about today is 2003's A Mighty Wind, directed by Christopher Guest, written by Christopher Guest and Eugene Levy, but that's, we'll discuss that later. It was released in April of 2003. What was going on in 2003, Nadia?
I wasn't banging Nate yet.
Wow.
That was in the before four times. It was 2003. I think I was transitioning from Racine to Kenosha.
Yeah, I forgot. I used to be able to have the stuff that was going on in the world then.
Working in Kenosha.
Yeah, I failed this time. Sorry. Jolene, what was going on in 2003?
That was my first year out of high school, so I was just working and doing what I wanted to do with my money.
Learning how to be an adult.
Yeah, I was working at the bank.
The bank.
Such a
the
crap.
Bank. I worked at the bank
you,
for
Nate?
13 years.
What do you do?
I believe Pig Destroyer released Prowler in the Yard around that time.
So. Nice. That's a classic album.
It's very good.
Awesome. We are talking about music. We're not talking about Pig Destroyer. We're talking about A Mighty Wind.
Yay.
Oh, Jolene, what was your first experience with this movie?
The first time I ever watched it?
Yeah.
Last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I've seen Best in Show and Spinal Tap. Like, that was done, like, by the same people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I've seen, like, the previews for it, and I knew the movie was out there, but I never actually sat down and watched it until last night.
Oh, wow. All right.
I enjoyed it.
How about you, Nate? What was
Well, I saw it at your place.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that.
Well, it was on loop almost. You had the soundtrack. You had the,
yeah.
I think, the VHS at that time.
Well, not
2003.
Yeah.
Was it DVD?
I think I had DVD. Yeah, I think
it probably wasn't Blu-ray.
Well, anyway, it just played over and over.
Yeah,
while we were drunk.
That was before Spotify times.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, about the soundtrack, I liked it a lot. It was pretty good. How about you, Nadia?
Oh yeah, around that time when it came out, I've liked Catherine O'Hara since Beetlejuice, so I pretty much anything she's in, if it's a comedy, I'm going to make an effort to see it. You know, and I've seen Best in Show and Spinal Tap as well. Yeah. And Waiting for Guffman. So
she's definitely one of the best parts of this movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
She does great. But this is a Christopher Guest movie. You guys are familiar with Christopher Guest?
Yes.
Guest. Did you know he's married to Jamie Lee Curtis?
I did not. No.
Since 1984. I did not know. I just found that out, too.
Power couple.
Another thing, he's also a member of the British House of Lords.
Oh.
I believe it.
He's one of almost 800 people.
He's a classy dude.
But his role was cut short by the House of Lords Act in 1999. Which gave took select people out that were actually privileged enough to do things and limited to 92. So only 92 people, and he wasn't counted for that.
Yeah. He got
Look up House of Lords.
He got
I had no idea. I just learned about it today, so.
My favorite thing about Christopher Guest is not any of his movies. It's actually Princess Bride. He was the count with the six fingers in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that movie.
That is a great
We should do that
movie.
One sometime.
He's kind of a chameleon. He looks different in every movie.
Yeah, he's very a character actor and not himself.
Yeah. And you see him in an interview, and then he's another totally different person, too.
Right on.
So. I usually like that, though.
But he also did, he was a co-writer on This Is Spinal Tap. A lot of people think that he did that movie.
Right.
But he didn't. That wasn't.
He was in it.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was a part of it. He's a co-writer, and of course, he's part of it. But that was actually Rob Reiner directed that one.
Oh.
But, Christopher Guest.
Who also directed Princess Bride.
Oh.
Boom, 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 boom.
But, Christopher Guest also did Waiting for Guffman in 1997. Best in Show, 2000. Mighty Wind, this one came out in 2003. And then his last real film was For Your Consideration in 2006.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, I didn't miss that one, too. Mm. I saw some of Mascots. That's the Netflix one he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that very
they
much.
They tried. It's Netflix. They tried. Yeah. That's their new slogan.
Their new one.
They tried.
The song Kiss at the End of the Rainbow was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Original Song.
I did like that one.
It moved me.
It was sweet.
And the song we open with, A Mighty Wind, won the Grammy for Best Song Written for a Motion Picture.
Nice.
How about
well
that?
Well done.
I was actually impressed with the whole soundtrack
of
the movie.
Yeah,
it was really,
It was really good. Yeah, I bought the CD, bought that, and it's a lot of good songs. So we'll go over some of the songs in this. you know how they kind of did it with this ensemble cast. Christopher Guest's kind of style is that he writes backstories for all these characters. And then he gives them to the actor, and then they have to write the lines themselves.
Yeah.
What? Oh, there's
improv.
No script.
There's no script.
Oh.
He just kind of gives you the backstory of this person, tells you where they came from, and tells you what's happening.
Yeah. So you said they did that as well in, like, Best in Show.
Yeah, that's his style that he did. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was kind of started.
Talk about trusting your actors.
I made my husband watch it with me a little bit, and he was watching. He's like, it's got very much the Spinal Tap feel that it's, like, all improv. So he felt that it wasn't scripted. He could tell that.
Oh, yeah. You can kind of tell.
But I think it's better that way. I like it.
It's a neat style.
It's organic.
It's off the cuff kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so.
I know just as many socially awkward people.
That's why when it says written by Guest and Levy, that's kind of a. Kind of think it was really a group effort with everyone. Even the music too was written by several different people.
Okay. Which makes sense because there was a lot of original songs.
They were all original.
All of them.
Every
were,
one
and
of
there
them.
Was a lot of them. What was it, like 14 or something? Or do you have the exact number?
I don't have the number because there was at least 13 songs on the soundtrack. Plus, there were some songs that never made it.
Made it, yeah.
There are a lot of them that you just hear for a second that aren't on the soundtrack either.
Right.
There are some songs in the deleted scenes that I've never heard before until I heard today when I watched the deleted scenes on the DVD. So, there's a lot of songs.
And they're all well-rounded, well-written. Yeah. Like, so they feel
they're
like
catchy
a complete...
as hell.
Oh, yeah.
They're catchy as hell.
And a complete song. Not just... Even though they're funny, but it's not just a comedic song.
Yeah. And then throughout the movie, all these filmings of the musicians, like, practicing, that's them actually rehearsing the songs.
Nice.
And they just kind of keep in character while they're doing it. And they're filming them while they're doing it. You know, okay, keep working on the songs. Okay.
Do you know if they all played instruments or they were faking it?
Nobody faked it in the whole movie.
So even, like, Jane Lynch or whatever.
Jane Lynch?
Jane Lynch.
She was actually one of the people that originally knew how to play guitar. She but everyone
and
else.
And ukulele.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone else learned how to play. Those are all those people singing.
I could tell it was them singing.
Yeah, and it's all them playing guitar. Yeah, they learned everything. So
that's great.
What they didn't know before that, they learned.
That's badass. Instead of just cutting to some stunt fingers
close
up on the guitar.
That's what I really respect about this movie, what I really kind of liked, is that they did it that way.
Because I was watching a little bit. I'm like, was it? Yeah, looked like they were all playing it.
Well, it all kind of started from Spinal Tap.
Right.
Okay.
If you guys don't know, it started with the three guys who play the Folksmen. They were the three guys in Spinal Tap, the band. In fact, the same kind of instruments, you know, the same lead guy, same guys on the sides. And that led to a Saturday Night Live skit that fall in 1984 after Spinal Tap came out. Michael McKean, like the main guy, he was the guest host on Saturday Night Live, and Christopher Guest and Harry Shearer were cast members on Saturday Night Live. So they had all three of them there.
Okay.
And so everyone's expecting to see, oh, they're going to do something about Spinal Tap. And instead they did this other thing where they played a folk group. And that's when Old Joe's Place was written for that.
Oh,
that's an old song.
Okay.
So that was written for that. And then, hold on, beer break.
That's pretty awesome.
So they aired the skit of Saturday Night Live of the Folksmen. You can watch that on YouTube. And it kind of came from there. And that's where the movie kind of came from. All from that Saturday Night Live thing from Spinal Tap before that.
A pretty entertaining movie.
So, and then they knew how to play the instruments back then.
Right.
So they kind of expected everyone else going to too. And they all did great, I thought. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, it was great.
It was a good time.
All right. So, should we take a shot break or should we get into the movie?
Let's go. Let's power in.
All right. So the movie kicks off. We're going to do a little bit of the intro, and then we're going to go into the each band kind of thing. That's what we're going to do today. Instead of going scene by scene,
okay,
we're kind of going to start the movie up and then look at each band individually.
Sounds good.
And how they get up to the show, and then we'll go to the show.
Sounds good.
Instead of going back and forth. So
well, the movie starts up, too.
The movie starts off with a dead guy.
Yeah, you know,
rest true. In peace, Irving Steinblum, 2002-2003.
Like so many executives before him.
Yeah.
Except he was the executive with heart.
Yeah, I guess he was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Everyone liked him, I guess. We meet his son.
Doesn't everybody like you when you're dead, though?
That's a rule. In death, we have names.
I know. Why did these guys get together really... when he was alive?
Yeah.
You know? But we meet his son, Jonathan Steinblum.
Right.
Which I was going to call him Steinblum.
Okay.
He's played by Bob Balaban.
Right. Now, Bob Balaban, I am mostly familiar with him as the executive from Seinfeld, the one when Jerry and George had their pilot for the Jerry show, the
and
show
he fell
about
in love
nothing.
With Elaine.
Right, and he fell in love. That's what I'm most familiar with him with. Right, yeah, he goes to, like, save the whales or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she'll respect me now, and then we never see him again.
Yeah, he's gone, yeah. Right. Wow, that is that guy. Yeah,
that's that guy. Like, when I see him, I'm always looking for association, like Michael Keaton.
Michael McKean.
Michael McKean is the dad from Beetlejuice. That's where he'll always start for me. Beetlejuice was like 89. And then Catherine O'Hare was Delia Dietz, the mom.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
So a lot of like.
Yeah, I forgot Michael McKean's
in that. It's autobiographical for me. Like, a lot of those actors mean something else.
Well, I love this ensemble cast thing because they have everyone together. They go several movies together like that.
How many of them are there total? Do we know?
People?
Like in the ensemble. What counts? Is there
it
like
varies.
Eight?
There's a list on 15, Wikipedia.
Four.
I think the full list is probably somewhere like around 20.
Right.
There's so many supporting characters that come in and do small roles.
Right.
And then not all of them have been in all of them. Some of them are newer. Some of them, you know, didn't do this one. Some didn't do that one. So, but there's a general group, you know, that are in all these movies. And they continue to work together because...
And it's a good time.
Yeah, yeah. I wish they do more. I like it when the ensemble cast does that. That's what I like about old Kevin Smith movies, how they kept that together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that group of actors. Then he kind of broke away from that and got different people. You
yeah,
know,
they
no,
even got Ben Affleck to come back. I think.
I want to see Jason Lee, you know. Fucking, I don't know, turn into a walrus.
Bring back Brody.
Bring back Brody.
Yeah, yeah.
Brody lives.
At that Kevin Smith, bring back Cody, Brody.
But, so, we're on the Folksmen.
Right.
They're, we talked about how they came about. How they came back in 1992 after SNL. And it was the return of Spinal Tap. Nate, remember that, when Spinal Tap came back? In 92?
The break, like the Wind album?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
I got on tour, the Folksmen opened for Spinal Tap.
Mm.
Wow.
And these people didn't know, so they got booed the fuck at like every show. Yeah. They just got booed off stage.
Because they didn't realize who they were.
Yeah. Aww. They were out there with their wigs or whatever playing folk music. And they get booed off the stage. So they still make, they made an appearance in 2009. The Folksmen played out as the Folksmen. So, what do you think of the Folksmen, Jolene?
They're my favorite band out of all of them.
Yeah?
Like,
yeah.
Sound-wise and everything. Yeah. I like the three-piece. I really like the upright bass and the guy, how deep the one guy's voice is.
Yeah. That favorite group for their music was also the Folksmen for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I gotta agree with that.
They just had great harmony. They weren't as pretentious or over the top. And too many people in... The main street.
Oh, the new main street. Yeah. They were like two happy, shiny-go-lucky people.
They were perfect. They were exactly what you want in your folk music. Yeah. Actually, listening to them, I had an epiphany. I realized that Jolene and I play folk music, but we just we cover regular songs in folk music style.
Oh, yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, when are you guys going to do a cover of the Clink Clink on Their Drink song?
You know how hard it is to find chords for that fucking thing? You know what year that song was made?
You got an ear?
You know, I was listening to the, and I
there's
have
a lot of,
like
there's
a,
not, we need like a piano.
They promised their own version of the Clink Clink on their drink
we're
song.
We're getting there. It's a work in progress. We need an adult.
There's not really chords. It's like a boom, 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 boom.
Well, there
and
you
I
go.
Know
that
half,
sounds easy.
And I know a C chord, like a
one. You can beatbox it.
Between like a C and an A.
And I'll just
boom,
smack
boom,
my
boom,
U.
Boom,
give
boom,
me a C, a bouncy C.
We'll figure something out. We'll see. All right, anyways.
We're getting there.
So we look at the folks, and we're going to go through their how they got back together. They meet up at this reunion barbecue.
Yeah, that was great. It was super pleasant. Like, they must have ended on good terms.
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah.
They just were getting tired of playing shitty casinos and things.
You put a hole in it. It was a good-sounding record. Sorry. That part cracks me up.
Yeah, yeah, that was funny. They go through their history, their fake history, you know, from how they started. All their album titles had the G missing, and about, you know, singing, wishing, picking.
Yeah.
There are more of them than deleted scenes. They're like hitching and something else. But they do the rehearsals, and every time that you see them rehearse, they're in a different room. Do you notice that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like they don't have a spot.
They're in a different location.
Oh, you think you have a spot, don't you?
Yeah.
They don't have a spot.
They just jam wherever they feel, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah, where they're moved.
But their songs are like Old Joe's Place, Never Did No Wandering. What was your favorite Folksman song?
Old Joe's Place.
Yeah.
And why? Specifically for the line, "The nurse is on duty if you don't feel right." It's in the last verse. I love that. I was like, "Nurse is on duty if you don't feel right." I was like, "Hey." That spoke to me.
Wandering, chasing a rainbow dream, I often stop and think about a place I've never seen, where friendly folks can gather and raise the rafters high with songs and tales of yesteryear until they say goodbye. Well,
so all three of these guys have modified haircuts. I mean, it's kind of obvious, right?
Yeah.
Christopher Guest shaved his head. He's not like bald like that. Harry Shearer, I think
he's got
hair.
And that was a fake beard, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But Michael McKean was wearing a toupee.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of hair in the front.
It was the cheapest one they could find.
It was a little reminiscent of the Three Stooges, which was the one that had only the side ones and not much on the top.
Curly.
Curly. No, that was the bald one.
Larry.
It reminded me a little bit of Larry.
Curly Larry and Moe there.
Yeah, he had that kind of hair going. So... that's things we have about the Folksmen. So let's look at the Main Street Singers. What do you think about these guys?
I don't like them. Well, I like Jane Lynch. I like the... I liked
the Parker Posey, too. They're both those backstories. Parker Posey... Well, I was on the street, and even her father... Even though her father was a, like, original member of the Main Street singing... Or whatever. Main Street Singers. Thank you.
They were formed in 1960. And they released 30 albums in 10 years.
Yeah. That made me giggle.
Then they had the one remaining member, whose name's George.
Yep.
You guys remember George?
The paunchy one. Who just shook his head through the whole thing.
Played by Paul Dooley. You guys know who he is? He's got like almost 200 acting credits.
Oh, yeah.
He's the voice of Sarge in the Cars movies. You guys have ever seen those?
Oh.
But I remember him best as Big Chuck in the zombie film My Boyfriend's Back.
Oh, yes.
Nope.
Uh-huh.
You had anything else?
Oh, yeah, tons of stuff. So.
I knew he looked familiar, but that one's not ringing a bell.
Yeah.
I've seen him before, and I've seen him in a lot of things, but I couldn't picture just one thing, you know what I mean?
Who's the main guy? He's a dick.
Yeah.
Because he was all like, oh, your note is supposed to be, it's not, you know, it's supposed to be a six. And he's like,
oh, that guy.
Right.
Terry.
Yeah.
And the pretension, and then the weird cultiness of it. And I just felt like there were too many band members. I had a bad experience.
His parents sent him to bed with dessert only.
Right. He was in a weird cult. He had child abuse problems. Parker Posey was a prostitute. Jane Lynch was a porn star. What I realized
her backstory cracked me up.
What I realized is it's totally metal, actually, to be a folk singer, because you got to have a dark history. You know what I mean? Like, we're fine as folk, right? Like, you got robbed at gunpoint when you worked at the bank. My mom's
threatened a gun.
You know what I mean?
Show.
We all have our damage. It's great.
But, okay, going back to them, though, that Jane Lynch and the guy that you didn't like, though, when they came, they were Wick, like witches in color.
Wink,
witches in color.
Nature's
natural.
Color.
Yeah, I'm like,
witches in nature's colors.
Yes. Yeah. I kind of want to join that. That sounds like fun.
Not if you have to touch each other's faces all the time and like pray before every event.
They worship the power of dimension.
And color, yeah.
The awesome and vibratory power of color, which is the basis of all creation.
It's going to be a hard pass for me.
Yeah.
Hard pass. But I love Jane Lynch. Like, she's been in so much, and she is so funny, and she's very tall. I enjoy
her
immensely.
She's on the Hollywood Game Show, or Hollywood Game Night.
She was on Glee.
Oh,
she hosts that.
Glee was a sensation.
But she's been on all kinds of things. And
A lot of things.
Anytime she pops up, you know it's going to be a little bit better than...
What was the one she was in with Paul Rudd? Where Paul Rudd's...
Role Models.
Role Models, yeah. And that one was hilarious when she's got, like, the... She's got a pretzel dog and...
She's actually been in a lot of things, like some serious roles too. I think it was like Impact or Deep Impact. She was like a scientist in one of them. I'm looking at and her hair is a little bit longer. And she's like, wow, it's not a comedic role, but it was like a smaller role. But
yeah. She was on Criminal Minds for a while too. She had a part on there. Yeah.
And I don't mind Parker Posey. Yeah, I love her in Best in Show Simon's as the neurotic mom. Dog mom. You know, she's great in that one. Yeah. I like her in Dazed and Confused as the bitch. Like, she does a good job in her roles. Parker Posey, rumored to have done softcore porn. I was trying to research it. Is it true? Do we know?
We should know about Snopes.
I remember there was a rumor that she did, like, a Skinamax film. You totally get boobs. Hmm. But at the time, that was risque compared to now. Now it's nothing. But now you have to do a sex tape to get famous. But, yeah, I think it's worth a Google.
But the other guy, John Michael Higgins is the other guy. Is Terry Boner.
Yeah.
And he's been in a ton of stuff, too. I remember him from Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
He was Wayne Jarvis on that.
Arrested Development.
But he was on, I guess, on Ally McBeal and Wilfred. I don't know. Mm. But for his band, for the new Main Street Singers, he actually did all the arrangements, all the harmonies.
Oh, so he really is a dick.
Are so, you doing the note?
And that goes back to when they said they're filming the rehearsals, when he's, like, doing that and kind of... You know, instructing all of them, that's what he's actually doing.
Wow.
So
did he really not make that guy change his outfit until he got it?
I never got a name for that guy. I call him New Guy in my notes because I didn't.
He had kind of spiky hair.
Yeah. I'm just wondering
if he ever got to change his outfit before he had to go live on stage, or was it like stinky? I'm like, it didn't look that wrinkly. But remember, he wouldn't let him change his outfit until he got it right.
Yeah. He was in the group for like over a month already. Nearly a month. Yeah. But okay, yeah.
Not a fan of the new Main Street.
I like their characters. A couple
of them are up.
Parker Posey is Sissy Knox.
And they're dicks because they totally stole
their song. The Folksman.
The Folksman's song and played it.
Was that just a coincidence? Or?
No, they ripped them off and they went first. Yeah, it was a dick move on his part. Okay. He knew.
The new Main Street Singers were the only ones that were a fucking cover band of another folk. Yeah,
that's
everybody
right.
else was playing their own. Folk music.
Well,
that they wrote.
I think some of the songs are supposed to be like traditional. But
covers,
they wrote them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that one was probably a traditional song that neither one of them wrote, probably. And that's what it was meant to be.
Right.
Even though it actually was still a dick move. Well, yeah. I don't know.
Dick is the word of the night.
Well, you would think like people would say what their lineup was beforehand, or to make sure that didn't happen.
Well, and
if
they
you
had to have
doing
practiced
originals.
Together because they were able to do the final number as a group. As they were supposed to. So there must have been some practice, but nobody talked about their set. That's odd to me.
You would think the
producers
would have a list of the song
titles.
Right,
and say, you
got to
play something else, kid.
Yeah.
That doesn't create tension, and tension creates a good movie. So they're dicks for it. Folksman all night.
But Parker Posey, she's the daughter of an original Main Street singer.
That's why she was so happy about it. She was jacked.
Because she was no longer a prostitute.
Right. Yeah. It seems like all these... characters like the Main Street Singers particularly, they like put the smiles on and cover up their darkness.
Yeah.
But
they just want to make people happy because their own lives are total shit.
I think that's why we like the Folksman best, because they're like the normal people pretty much.
They're like the nice middle
of the
road.
Yeah, the normal, just whatever.
They're the least raped and assaulted.
Or maybe they're just doing a spin on the usually it's like rock and roll has the bad
life.
Yeah,
it
like
is a mockumentary.
Recovering like heroin addict or whatever.
Well, they had to make it interesting. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hearing all their problems made me feel better about being a folk singer and not knowing it.
But especially people that are folk singers, you don't think they would have that kind of background. So I think they're going through the irony of it.
Put on a brave face.
Parker Posey, she's a could-have-been girl, I guess, of the 1990s.
Right.
Yeah.
She was like the indie chick for a while there. She was in Dazed and Confused and Party Girl and The House of Yes.
Yeah.
What was the Pink Dot movie?
I think that's House of Yes.
Is that House of Yes? Okay.
Yeah,
they had like the Pink Dot delivery service where it like delivered.
Who ended
call
up being
in
that instead? Was it Liv Tyler? Who got? Because she was the could have been girl, but she.
I thought they just tried to push too many people too many fat like too fast.
I guess she was a successful indie actress, I suppose. Now she's on Lost in Space on Netflix.
Oh,
I haven't seen the new show Lost in Space.
Netflix, they try.
Some of the other people on the Main Street Singers. Did you know that one of their backup players, he doesn't have a line or anything, he's one of the executives at Castle Rock?
No.
No, I did not.
He played guitar, and he wanted to be in it. He's like, hey, I can play, I can be back. So he's back there playing, one of them.
Aw.
So.
I bet his family's proud.
And we get one of our few minorities, and he's in the group, too.
There was a minority?
Yeah. He looked Hispanic.
He had the cabin boy line.
Yeah, I'm the cabin boy. Call me Jim.
Okay.
That's not nice.
Okay.
I see what they did there.
I didn't notice that. That's terrible.
What? I have white privilege. I'm a bad person.
We got one more minority in the film. It's not total white bread. Later on at the pre-party, Michael McKean's sitting on the couch with a black guy.
Yeah.
He's talking. He's an old blues musician. And he's a
What else has he been in?
He's got little parts and tons of stuff. Yeah. I noticed him because he has huge hands. He always sits like leaning over with his like elbows on his knees, and his hands are down in front of him, and they look like they're like 2 feet long. He just like has these. I thought he should have been
probably
a basketball player.
Good for playing blues instruments.
I suppose. Yeah. But his name's Bill Cobbs. That's his name. Oh. So
yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I think he's still alive, but
I hope
So that's covers for the new Main Street Singers.
All right.
You guys are not fans, eh?
I like the individual characters.
A few of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as together, no, I didn't like
them. I'm not buying the album.
No. Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Now God said to David, do you hear that drumming? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a great big Philistine army coming. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you want to oil up your sling and really get it humming?
Yeah. Oh,
hey, yeah. We got shots.
Yeah, yeah. Hey.
Gotta take a big guy down. Well, David, he got a dose of rights, but he wanted to be king of the Israelites. So he put old Goliath right in his sights, and he bounced one off of his crown. But what if David had whined and waved?
They did do a song, Potato with a Patty Wig in. That was,
That was
weird. It was hilarious.
With a fire hose, and we'd sleep in the cracks between their toes.
Come on, boys, potatoes and patty wagon. Get out of there. Come on, boys, potatoes in the patty wagon. Mama says it just ain't fair.
Yeah, this was an odd song.
That was one of the, I'm watching, I'm like, what the fuck did they just say?
Well, potato is the name of a person, I guess. She was on the floor, so my not a potatoes in the patty wagon.
Daddy said this and there'll be nothing but a misery, never will be worth a damn. But mama just loved her little sweet potato baby with a face like a parboiled yam. Come on, boys, potatoes in the patty wagon, gotta get her out of there. Come on, boys, potatoes in the patty wagon, mama says it just ain't fair.
That's kind of why I picked this movie, is so I can play songs and kind of extend our time. Because our Tusk episode wasn't long enough. We got complaints saying, what, only 3 hours? So I'm trying to pad it out some, you know.
Oh, okay.
And you too can support Drunk Film Commentary, where we rant longer than the movie itself, at Patreon. That's Drunk Film Commentary at Patreon.
Well, I figure it's only appropriate for a Kevin Smith movie to be that long, because Kevin Smith would approve us talking for 3 hours.
He would, talk for 3 hours before he let us watch that movie.
Yeah.
And
I would listen to every minute.
Yeah, I would too.
We love you, Kevin.
Most of the minutes.
You enjoy your Weight Watchers points, bud.
I don't think he's listening to this one. Yeah, you never know.
Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Guess we better leave her there. Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Mama says it's more than fair. Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Guess we better leave her there. Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Mama says it's more than fair. Mama says it's more than fair. Mama says it's more than fair.
I'm inclined to believe that Potato was a late in life pregnancy that occurred, the birth occurred at home, and there was some delay there, mental delay as a result of being born on the cellar floor and looking like a yam. That's kind of good.
Like you said, it's dark.
Why is it in the paddy wagon, though?
Probably because he was
Why is it getting arrested?
Much like Gilbert Grape. Much like Gilbert Grape. He was probably just, like, climbing a tower.
I killed him, Gilbert. I killed him.
Yeah, I imagine Potato was much like Gilbert Grape. Like, he had the best of intentions.
Going higher than before.
What are we going to do that
That's
movie?
In a bath tank. Boom, boom.
Sorry. No, you're not. That was great.
I could have drowned it. I could have drowned it.
Next up, what's eating Gilbert Grape?
Sounds like we're adding to the list. So let's move forward and let's talk about Mitch and Mickey, because that's a love affair.
I like Mitch and Mickey.
I have a lot of feelings about Mitch and Mickey. You know, I'm a crier.
Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy.
She's amazing. And Eugene Levy, everybody loves him from the American Pie movies.
He was in all eight of them.
Yeah.
There were eight films.
Of
them? Oh, my God.
According to...
I got to two.
Sure. I liked him in Splash. Yeah.
I mean, he's been in everything.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Been in tons of shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Catherine O'Hara, you were saying earlier she was Beetlejuice.
She's Delia Dietz. You know, as a child, I related to Lydia, but now as an adult, I'm Delia all the way. Don't fuck with my sheets, eat your dinner, and knock your shit off.
Give me my fucking Valium. Don't
come around. That's right. Give mommy her... Well, for me, it's like, you know... Flexerol. But, you know, give mommy her medicine and it's time to lay down. You know, I get it. I get it. Being an adult is hard.
Yeah, Catherine Hare is awesome.
She is.
She's also the mom in Home Alone 1
right.
and 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she's also in, like, your favorite movie.
Beetlejuice?
No.
Which one?
She's the voice of Sally in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Is she really?
Yep.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm fucking serious.
She's not the singer, but she's the voice.
I am not positive on that. I know she does the voice.
You just blew my mind because
I thought you'd know that.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
I'm really surprised you didn't know that. I didn't know that, but...
Wow. That's hot. Oh, yeah. Man. I didn't think I could love her more.
You have to look it up and see if she's an actual singer or not.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In fact, we'll take a quick break.
I gotta pee good.
That blows my mind.
When I'm standing next to you, there's a song to sing. I know everything's feeling right. When I'm standing next to you, steeple bells ring. Only good things do I see when you're next to me.
So we're back. Sorry, we had to sweep up Nadia's head because her...
It exploded. I was oblivious. And I love Nightmare Before Christmas. I own a bunch of the stuff.
Yeah,
and I've seen it like 9 million. It's like, it's my jam.
Yeah.
It's my number. Like, if I have to pick, what's your favorite movie? Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean...
Yeah, I saw a book at a rummage sale for like $2, and I bought it for you because I knew.
And I have it, and it's decoratively displayed with my other Nightmare Before Christmas memorabilia, including like a plate and stuff, on a shelf above my office desk where I do my importing nursing things, and also I'll get Nightmare Before Christmas stuff.
But yeah, it's Catherine O'Hara, and we checked it, and Nate, she sings, right?
She even sang.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, yeah.
She's a singer?
She's the only voice for Sally, so...
That's right. Amazing.
Cool.
I don't know why that never occurred to mind, but it's fucking awesome.
Well, she had a Tim Burton connection going from Beetlejuice.
Right, makes sense.
Yeah.
Just when I thought she couldn't get more awesome.
But she's with this. She's in this with Eugene Levy.
Yeah, she's Mickey.
Mitch and Mickey.
He's Mitch.
Yeah. They started working together way back in the old days when they first met up on SCTV Toronto. They're both Canadian. So if you need another reason to like them.
Oh, man.
Not
yet. You know I love Canada.
Yeah, if you need another reason, Catherine O'Hara is also Canadian.
Only Jack Skellington's listed as having a singing voice and
right, because Jack Skellington, the singer is Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo. I knew that. I have that down.
Okay.
I guess I just never bothered to look.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sally.
Oh.
I love her.
Yeah.
I've been her for Halloween.
They're
who
both
knew?
Canadian. Yeah, they met there.
Oh.
And they're still acting together. They're on the show called Schitt's Creek.
Oh, I see that. Like, flipping
is that
through
on
Netflix.
Netflix?
Yes,
yeah.
But
Netflix.
I haven't actually watched it, but I...
It's
Netflix,
not bad.
Sponsor us, yo.
They're good.
We love you, bro.
Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara are good in it, but
they're
kids. They have two kids in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're annoying as hell.
Okay.
Is that the location that they live? They live in Schitt's Creek?
Or they did live there
or they're up from
Is
Schitt's
that kind
Creek?
Of like a Richard the Poor type
aspect
of it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They were rich.
And now they're poor, and now life's hard.
Yeah, and their kids just bitch the whole time about it. Mm-hmm. That got annoying real quick.
Fucking millennials.
But I should watch more, but I didn't give it a chance. So if it's good, let us know at drunkfilmcommentary@yahoo.com what you think of Schitt's Creek.
Right on.
Yeah, hey.
Our opinions on anything.
I love Catherine O'Hara, though.
So we go through the history of Mitch and Mickey.
Right.
They show on their first album cover,
so
Meet
Sweet.
Mitch and Mickey, which is a take on the Beatles. Meet the Beatles album cover.
Okay. I like the...
They're back.
The Simon and Garfunkel spoof one, the blank stares. They did the black and white one where they're just staring.
That's like the Beatles one. That's
That's the Beatles. I thought that was... That's Beatles? That's not Simon and Garfunkel?
No, because it's called Meet Mitch and Mickey.
Okay.
And that was Meet the Beatles. Okay. That's the original one, yeah.
But the image of it kind of looked like the Simon and Garfunkel
black and white one.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
To me, okay.
They had something similar, I think, yeah. All
right. I just love that
their
backstory...
But, like, the blanket, their stares on it was great. Like, vacant and, like, kind of awkward.
Vapid.
Yeah.
And then their second album, When You're Next to Me, which had a sticker on it, said featuring When You're Next to Me.
Oh.
As if you didn't know, as if you couldn't figure it out by the title.
And they're laying in the grass head to head.
Yeah, the song is on there as well. They need to put that on there.
That was cute, yeah.
It was cute.
But then after that, Mitch went solo. They had a falling apart.
Right. Because
Nate, this is one of your favorite parts of the movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what, it gets metal?
Yeah.
You remember
the album cover for Calling It Quits.
Is that the one where he's in the grave?
Yeah.
Yes. Nate looks just like him, the beard and the hair.
I forget the name of his first solo.
A Cry for Help.
A Cry
That's
for
when
help.
He's in the...
The straight jacket.
Straight jacket, yeah.
My husband, Lady and
featuring the song If I Had a Gun.
And that's why I don't let him have one.
Good. Oh, I can hear it. If you had a gun, but I couldn't find the bullets. No.
So they'd go to Cherry Hill Psychiatric Hospital, where he was a patient at one time. And they talk to them, and they say, nope, you shouldn't have left.
Like, he left too soon.
On the commentary, they say that one of the possible endings they had was that Mitch was going back to the insane asylum. And they caught him. His idea was they'd keep you outside eating flowers, and two guys like in suits go, come on, Mitch, come on back, and pull him back into the place. You know.
He did a great job of being neurotic and, like, fried his brain of, like, overthinking and doing too much stuff and just quite connected with
he
the world.
He made me really
anymore.
Aware of mental illness. I was worried about him, you know.
Yeah.
Like, as I said, like, folks are dark. Mental illness, prostitution, porn.
So after a while, so now with the big tours or the big shows coming up, Mickey and Mitch get back together. They reunite.
Mickey agrees to it before they even know where Mitch is.
Yeah.
That was
great. That's a point.
Oh, I sure hope well, he then said Steinle, yes, because I already said yes.
You were Dad's favorite. I wish it would have showed him saying it to other people, too. Yeah. You know, because you know he messed up. Yeah.
Right.
You know, Dad, you're his favorite, you know.
Whatever it takes to close the deal.
Yeah. I kind of want to see him do that at least a second time. That seems right up Steinblum's alley. But they reunite at Mickey's house. He comes over. He meets her husband, Leonard.
The train enthusiast.
Yes, he's in the bladder management business.
That's not weird. Well, no, a lot of people use catheters. I mean, I use catheters, not on myself, but almost every day. I mean, really, catheters, they are a big business. It was lucrative. He was providing for her just fine.
But hey.
So it's important to have the pocket size and the self-lubricating ones.
That's right. For on the go.
But hey, do you like trains?
Sure.
Like when they throw pickles.
You're supposed to say, I took a bus. took a bus.
Who doesn't like
it
trains?
It was a 16-hour ride.
It's like, no, do you like model trains? Oh, sure. You know, people say that to you. You like model trains? Yeah, I guess, you know.
Crabtown.
So he takes them downstairs to see Crabtown. Or
Crabville. Crabville, but he called it Crabtown.
You know what? It would have been a lot better in
autumn. Crabtown would look beautiful
Maples,
in autumn.
Sycamores.
See all the leaves on the ground.
That was great. When filming it, they had a location set up where they were going to go film this. Some guy actually had a train set, you know.
Did they?
Yeah, that was pretty, yeah.
They get down there, and none of the trains work.
Oh, no.
Nothing works down there. He had set up and shit. So what you see in the train moving is them pulling it on dental floss.
Oh, okay.
And then they added, like, sounds in, like, afterwards.
The model train.
I want to go, I'm going to go rewatch it and see if I can see this string now.
Yeah, I didn't see it either, but.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't know. I wasn't looking for it.
Listen, folks, that's what you call movie magic.
Yeah. Good old Crabville.
Crabville.
Crabtown.
Amazing. Yeah, beautiful.
But. Mickey's, he's quite a character. Or Mitch, I mean, Mitch.
Mitch.
They both are.
Mickey tells a story of how they met with the heckler.
Oh, I love it, right? He defends his honor and gets his ass whooped. And
I love the newspaper headline, folk musician pummeled.
Yeah.
He used that word pummeled a lot.
Yeah, that's a good word.
It is.
Good word. Mitch has his hotel room all set up where he doesn't know the name of it. So how does he get back? How does he take a cab back to his hotel room? I don't remember the name.
He just wanders.
Just go this way.
When something looks familiar, he goes that way. Yeah. Yeah. But did you, like...
I know things by landmarks and not by street names. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of them, like, take a left at the AT&T building. Take a right at the Valvoline.
Did you, like, pick up that, like, Catherine O'Hare's character? She's like, I just was always watching Mitch. Mitch always had the heart. He had the character. I was just going along with the ride with Mitch. But at the very end of the movie, it kind of changed a little bit.
How so?
During their last performance, Catherine O'Hare was just singing and looking at the audience, and Mitch was staring at her versus she was staring at him through...
Foreshadowing.
It was kind of... I don't know, because she said it all... She said it several times throughout the movie, like the...
Right.
I was always... I had to follow Mitch. Mitch was always the creative one. I just looked at Mitch. He had the ideal. He had the plan.
Yeah.
And then it was very... She wasn't she was looking over at him.
That train guy was
looking at the
hung.
Audience, and it was after he gave her the rose or whatever. Sorry, that's right. Jumping way ahead.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. It's like,
well, it's good points. Yeah, I didn't notice that part at the end of the final show.
That's pretty subtle. That's one of those. That's when.
And I only really noticed it because she mentioned it.
That's when Guest was actually directing. That's one of those moments that slips in there when you see. That's him doing
the
it.
Like
the
rose.
Few, huh?
The show's the show movie has a lot of little parts like that you kind of catch, but it's like really subtle.
Yeah.
I gotta
watch it over and over again because I just watched it for the first time last
you
night.
Did. You should see it again. Yeah.
It feels like the first
we had the option of renting or buying for $3 to ten, so we bought so I can watch it.
Why don't you go to the video store and get it for $1 for a week?
Because
I was driving to the video store.
I would have to leave my house and deal with
people.
Pants
on,
what
putting a bra on.
What the fuck were you thinking?
Brushing your hair.
Oh, man.
It's a lot of work.
I don't like dealing with people.
We're lucky enough to have two video stores in town. And with that attitude, they're not going to be around much longer.
Well, no, I do go to Family Dollar or Family Video.
For porn?
No, for the previously viewed. Like, I buy a shit ton of the previously, viewed, rented movies. I don't have a membership, but I have a lot of movies that I've bought in there. So
clearance
they get
shopping.
My business.
So you pick up their garbage, pretty much.
Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it.
Way to be a team player, Jolene. Nate and I pretty much only...
That's fucking teamwork.
Nate and I pretty much only rent video games from Family Video.
Okay.
All right, so we got Mitch. Let's go over to the other characters. There's lots of other characters.
Oh, okay. So the couple in the audience?
No, let's start with Mr. Fred Willard, Mike LaFontaine.
Oh,
hey, what happened?
But that's like the hippest character he's ever played.
I got a wheel red wagon.
He was a wheeler and a dealer in this movie.
That was the guy that was also in Everybody Loves Raymond, right?
I believe so. He's been in tons of
shit. Yeah, he played the dad of the sister-in-law's dad, like the straight-edge church guy.
The one, Robert's wife's father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amy's dad.
He's been in tons of shit. He's always playing a great, like, crazy character.
Huh?
Yeah.
He has my favorite line of the movie at the
he
end.
He does.
Which one?
Special does.
Hey, I say we have the ladies get the coffee. And that's sexual harassment.
Oh,
literally,
at the very end. Yeah.
Literally, Nate and I have been married for 14 years, and you know how many times he said, hey, I have an idea. How about Nadia makes the coffee? That's why this movie's special to us.
It tastes so much better when you make it,
Nadia. When somebody else gets up and does it for you, it's delicious.
I like Fred Willard. He's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
It's
all in
good
fun.
He's definitely one of the highlights of the movie.
Yeah. Like, some of his, like, off-ball, but, like, ideals to, like, make more money with it and have him do stupid shit. Like, what the fuck are you... I can't even think of one of them.
They wanted to throw water on the band.
Girls. And he whispers about the girls.
And then he whispers, why would be...
Oh, man.
Throw water on the ladies.
And John McLean just kind of rolls his eyes like...
He looks horrified.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's
kind of hip, though. Like, they gave him, like, a spiky blonde haircut in this movie.
He did that.
Oh, he chose to do that.
He did that.
That's the direction, because he wanted to look like
good
he was
choice.
Hip and...
Good choice.
Because these people,
he's
you know...
an exec, you know? He wants to be with the times.
And he looks, the house,
I think he was just trying to look like a douchebag.
That rumble,
well done.
The rumble
well
underneath.
And like the brightly colored like print like button up t-shirts that he always wore too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you notice all the random shit that was like on his desk that didn't make
like
sense?
Like a troll
really?
Doll. And...
Excuse me.
Yeah, it was awesome. He has a little fart noise thing maker.
He was like the manager of the New Street Singers, right?
The new Main Street
the
Singers.
The new Main Street Singers,
yeah. Yeah, he was their promoter kind of guy. I guess they said that he brought his own hairdo. who came in with that. And they're like, okay.
Good
and
choice,
then when they're doing
choice.
These takes, he would keep on going. And then, you know, Christopher Guest would say, okay, cut. And Ferrelli would go, no, I still got stuff. Keep he just go on
I'm
and
not
on
done
with
talking.
These, with these stupid ass jokes, he could fucking keep on delivering them.
He had a lot of good ones. Oh, I can't think of any off the top of my head because I've been drinking. But they were
knock,
funny.
Knock.
Who's there?
The new Main Street Singers.
Oh.
Isn't that hilarious?
That's hitting the nail right on the head.
And then there's the Steinblum siblings. Elliot and Naomi.
Okay, I love them. Right, because they're in the audience the whole time. And
she's
she,
rocking out.
How neurotic she is, though. She was so expressive with her
crier.
Face, and she looks like she's going to like have a nervous breakdown at any moment.
I related to
like,
that character. Nate and I, actually, we felt like they were like kind of reflective of
you
us.
You can't oh, even yeah. say his name, Dad.
I'm super energetic and all into it. And like, yay, clapping and crying, and the other guy's just there like, yep. You're the yup to my yay.
I nodded in approval.
Yeah. And then Ed Begley Jr. is in it. He's, I guess, he didn't know he was a stand-up comedian
he
originally.
Was like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But he plays like Lars. And he goes all, he's all his Yiddish he throws in.
He's like a producer, right? Or is that, or a manager of it? What is his? Because.
I think he works for the TV station.
So he's kind of like a producer of it,
because
right?
he's in the TV booth
that's
at the
right.
end.
Yeah.
He works
he's,
for them.
He's running it on the TV and the yeah. live performance. Okay. He's like, he's the one who's like, we know what we're doing. We
so
do this every week.
He might be the director. He might be the director.
Okay.
Maybe.
He was really know. Into it and really like throwing out a lot of
go
Jewish
find
words.
Find him.
The shmukkah over here, I had the mukkah and the... You like right. to throw a lot of Jewish words in there. Did you notice when he was
Shopper.
Talking?
Yiddish.
Okay.
Jewish.
Shopper. Yiddish.
Jig sheets hollin' doodly where gone. Cross trees hollin' a morning hymn. I'm the common boy, call me Jim.
His name's Jim.
Fare away, under main topsail to the bird below the wily way.
Oh, during the rehearsal, yeah.
We could just dump a bucket of water on the band here. Just soak them, even the ladies.
And he whispers in his ear.
Didn't Fred Willard have some issue with some kind of harassment thing? Didn't he do something? I don't remember. He had an accusation or something a while back.
A lot of people did with the Me Too.
Or no, I think he got caught jerking off or something.
Fred Willard?
Oh, it was like a Pee Wee Herman thingy?
Yeah, something like that.
I didn't hear that.
I don't care if you did it yourself. Just don't stare at me vacantly
we
while you do it.
We gotta check on that. We'll be right back.
Okay.
First mate Peter's a hardened man, says the captain's a charlatan. Don't know tackle from budget leads, sail us into the pearly gates. Fare away under main topsail to the fur below the wily whale.
Lewdness.
You got some?
Fred Willard, lewdness charge. Actor avoids trial after completing diversion program for his lewd behavior.
Oh, what was that, like 8-10 years ago, maybe?
2013.
Oh, five, okay.
What's the dirty and dirty old man?
Well, what did they actually do, though? Is there... Does he get into that's charges. What's the details there?
Do minor sexual offenses.
Ooh.
Yeah. Penis exposed and in his hand.
So
he got caught jerking in public.
There's no children mentioned, so
that's
I'm cool.
Good. All right.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. So we approve.
There's no children or animals.
And as
it's
long as you're not staring
dick,
at somebody
good.
In their window, like...
He was alone doing his own thing with his willy.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. So if we approve of Fred Willard still. He's still good? All right,
yeah.
Cool.
It was a Polynesian exotic movie that he was seeing.
Oh, he went to a porno and he fucking was jerking it. Who
the
fuck
in
cares?
The
theater, it's a porno. It's a PG.
They say you're not
thing.
Supposed to do that.
Yeah, but everybody does.
The only reason they say that is because they don't want to fucking clean it up.
Yeah. Why else do you go there? Don't go there with a fucking plot.
That's what janitors are for. Mm-hmm. Clean up the loads.
Jizz mopper.
Hey, you're
Jizz
a janitor, aren't you?
Yes.
He's been promoted.
What's the special recipe? Like, what's the cleaner to like
what really
clean
really gets the crust off that jizz? Like,
anything in hot water.
Bleach in hot water.
The bleach is preferred, yeah.
In your eyes.
So we talked about Ed Begley Jr. He's the writer of the big hit "How's It Hanging, Grandma." I don't remember it in Swedish though. And then we also have the town hall liaison. This guy, his name's Lawrence Turpin. He's the guy who kind of runs the things. He introduces the theater, and he sings horribly in the theater by himself.
The dynamic between him and Steinberg is hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, the awkwardness.
Oh, my God. Like, when they're unloading the mics, he's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, outside he's worried. He doesn't see microphones in the mic stands.
Yeah. Is there going to be a top half there? Yeah, there. So, we really need mics in there. We really like some mics in there. It's going to happen. It's okay. We've done this before.
And then we get in the lobby, and then he's worried about the flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Poking you in the eye.
Or you might trip on them.
Yeah, the viney ones. They hang low kind of like there. If somebody had like a walker or a wheelchair, they might get entangled there.
And the lights look shaky.
Then we get to the other stage. Yeah, we get to there. And then
are those lights up there? Yeah, that's the ceiling up there. Too.
There's the set pieces.
Oh, yeah.
They're flat.
This is all throwback to his mother being overprotective of him.
Yeah, he wore a chest helmet.
And then he gets to the lights and the wire. Chest.
Yeah. It's and then hilarious, what happened? And then though.
He gets bumped in the head.
Like, I could watch a movie of just
those
two.
And that's why his mom
two.
Told him to always wear a helmet.
And if it was real, if it was improv through the whole thing, that guy was legit getting pissed at him.
Well, you know what?
He's like, yeah, that's lights up there too. Or that's a ceiling.
It was so improv that when Lawrence like smacked Steinblum on the head, no one knew it was coming, so the crew busted up laughing. That's why it's cut immediately after that. It's like, boom, cut, right there. Right after it happens, like, slap, boom, cut.
Okay.
That's so funny, too.
Because everyone just busted out, like, holy
shit. I have
to
rewatch
for
that, too, now. Okay. Yeah.
So this
is a movie you gotta kinda watch over and over again to, like, pick up more stuff.
You gotta watch it a couple times, okay. Yeah, I think. I don't know. I think if you like the music, then you kinda get sucked in a little bit, like I did.
I really enjoyed the music.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed the music a lot.
Yeah. We missed a couple other supporting characters. The promoters, Amber and Wally. Remember this couple? Yep. Stifler's mom and Larry Miller.
Jennifer Coolidge. Yes. Yeah, I love her. She's a really weird voice.
And this is great for me because I hate folk music. She's like, yeah, me too.
Right.
That's a fake accent.
She's got like a weird thickness.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Voice.
She never talks like that.
But she does it, she does a kind of similar accent.
On Two Broke Girls.
Two Broke Girls, yeah. But she was, got very popular. She did...
well, she was in Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
She was Stifler's mom.
She was Stifler's mom. Yeah, she did Legally Blonde. She was the best friend who did her nails.
Was she in an Austin Powers movie, too, or no?
She was in The Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, she played
Mother Firefly
in the sequel.
Oh,
yeah. That's kind of dark for her. Yeah. But she's fun. She's
I like her. She's
this
fun,
big, busty kind of
and she's really
character.
Tall, too, and like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sturdily
just,
built,
yeah.
too. I love it.
Yeah. And, but they're like kind of a weird couple.
Yeah.
They are very
yeah.
weird. It's another off dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do their little hum.
The husband's in a lot of stuff too, though. I mean,
her open mouth hum.
Showing all teeth.
Yeah. I think in honor of Irving, we should have a little hum.
Okay.
Okay, that's enough. Before they turn us off. Sorry about that. That was for Irving. So,
I showed all teeth.
It's showtime. They're all backstage getting ready. So we got the boners. They're doing their little religious ritual. That was their guest vocalist, the dog.
Rocket.
The new guy is watching. Like, okay.
Right.
You know, about the new guy, though, in the deleted scenes, they show him getting his shirt, his vest off, and he's like a regular...
Okay, so he eventually was able to take off and like wash that nasty shit. And
they have another rehearsal song where they let him not wear it. And they mentioned something about it.
I felt so bad for him. Can at least say, like, no, you know it. You can't take it
John
off.
John Michael says something. He's like, notice something. Our buddy here, he doesn't have his wearing his vest. He's in his civvies today. Oh, and then they do this goofy ass song about XYZ that they have. They know. They all know this song because his zipper's down. So the whole group sings a song to him, and it ends with an XYZ, and he looks at his zippers down.
Oh.
Did they do like a really slow weird. Zip
I'm glad
up
they
and
cut
hear
that?
Yeah, yeah. No, no, they just looked on like, oh.
Cheap laughs.
Yeah, that was crotch kinda, humor. That was kind of dumb that they knew that song. They just bust out whenever someone has their zipper down. I don't know.
Should we learn it, Joan?
And, well, you would think as immediately as somebody started singing it, you'd like start looking down. Like, I know how this is going to end.
Yeah. They start looking at each other's crotches.
But no, like as soon as somebody starts singing, like, fuck, it's not me, right?
As soon as anyone starts singing that song, they all start immediately looking at their crotches. Could really change the context.
I would. I don't want to.
You don't wear pants. Your zipper is never down, Beesh.
If I had a zipper. I have a pair of jeggings that has a zipper fly, bitch.
All right, off topic. Shop break.
Shop break.
Sunny land, coconut coming down all the time. Milk, she's sweeter than honey wine. Sitting here on the sand, he's a loco man. Loco man, Freddy Boy. Doing it just because he can.
What make you want to do some tequila or something.
We have tequila. I brought some. Limes are cut up.
Like it's meant to be.
Are we just coming back from our shot break? Or are we talking about the next shot break?
It puts the drunk in drunk zone.
I thought this whole thing was a shot break.
These songs are jam. They're awesome. But we're at showtime. The show is going to be live.
Oh, live. That's a twist, right? What could go wrong if the show is live?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that always asking for trouble for everybody that hasn't performed in like 20, 30 years, except for the new Main Street singers?
Yeah, yeah. And what's the shtick about having live? That people are going to see something fuck up, I guess?
Right. The pressure to be accurate is more intense.
For example, look at the recent network things that we're doing live, like classics, like what the
American
Sound of
Idol.
Music and shit. No, they've been doing.
Oh, they did like Rocky Horror.
Yeah,
they've
done a bunch of shit
live.
Like that. Yeah, they do a lot, and it's live.
It's exciting.
It's live. I feel fame like it's, and shit.
Because they have it on a time of day that maybe people won't really tune into. They said it was later at night or something.
No, they only said the evening. I think they meant prime time.
Evening, yeah.
I don't know why live makes it special.
Or if it's on a Friday or Saturday, like nobody's going to stay
watched
home.
We Rocky Horror on Hulu.
It was live that night, and then we watched it later on Hulu because we worked second shift. But
Steinblum is the host.
It's exciting.
Yeah. And he has to make a speech father, about the dangerous the flowers.
Yeah, don't eat them. They're poisonous. So
don't eat them. Don't be careful for the vines because they'll
trip on them.
But he opens up the first band is the new Main Street Singers. And they open up with Never Did No Wandering.
Yeah, and totally ripped off the Foltzmen. That was going to be their first jam.
I should have kicked the air with that song. And they open with Never Did No Wandering.
And there it goes.
Wandering. Never did no wandering.
Now,
this is probably my favorite song.
This version?
No, I like the Foltzmen version. Yeah.
Okay, we'll
this one
that
was
one.
Really happy.
Jillian, I feel like we have to cover something from A Mighty Wind.
Now, we were talking about this before we turned on about where these songs came from.
Right.
And they're all written by the people on the show, in the movie, you know,
they're
all cast members. Like different groups, like about six or seven of them all kind of wrote songs. Michael McKean's wife helped write some of the songs.
Really?
In fact, they wrote a couple of the songs while they were driving cross country right after 9/11. The planes were shut down after 9/11.
Wow.
They had to drive to get where they were going. And that's on the drive, they wrote a couple of the songs that are
nice.
In this. You know, Michael McKean and his wife.
So, who's his wife? Is she anybody we know? Besides his lovely wife.
She's somebody. I'm sure she's... I mean...
We'll find out.
But not someone very prominent. But... Where were we?
Live. They just went on live, announced the Main Street Singers.
And they did a great job.
Opened with, and the Foltzmen were supposed
to
open with
them. They fucked them over.
And,
yes.
You know, they were practicing a different song to go on the Foltzmen and like the main.
I think in
singer.
Theory they all played like 3 to 5 songs, right? It was like little short sets and then a group song.
Except Mitch and Mickey only played one, which I was actually felt like I felt like I was robbed.
Yeah.
Like on that one.
There is a bonus scene of them
where
doing a whole other song
okay.
on the stage. Yeah, I'm thinking for real they probably did three or four. I mean, yeah. How long is the show? 2 hours? Is it like from 7 to 9 maybe?
Or an hour and a half maybe? You know.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they like eat up like pre-show stuff, like red carpet
and
interviews.
Commercial stuff and yeah.
On the DVD, they also have the entire version of the TV version. Because while they're recording the show, this is all like a real show they're performing. It's all live.
Documentary.
They didn't redub their music in this.
So you do have, you have the DVD.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If I should have just borrowed it, like from or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
instead of buying it.
Yeah.
She didn't get all the special stuff with her internet version.
Yeah, I just downloaded it to Google Play or something.
Like, damn you internets and your shortcuts.
I'm not a cloud fan.
Well, I was gonna like message you and buy, and like I'm like, hey, don't you say you had it? But then Bowles came home a day early and I hung out with him and then just downloaded it and made him watch it with me.
Yeah. But we do have two.
I was gonna message, yeah.
Which if they want to be our sponsor, that'd be great.
Hulu, Netflix.
I do want to borrow the DVD so I can get the extra scenes and the deleted ones.
There are some pretty cool ones I watched today.
I've learned a lot today.
So the new Main Street Singers open with this song.
Yeah.
And folksmen are freaking out.
Right. It's nice. It's pleasant. I mean, there's like 50 of them on the stage.
Oh, that's what I was saying earlier. Is that
there's 9 of them.
Because these people wrote these songs, they kind of treat them like they're not written by these groups.
Like public domain.
This song seems like it would be more of a classic song.
Okay.
The same with the finale, Muddy Wind. That seems like a song everyone knows.
Right.
You know, not one of those groups wrote that song. It's like a...
Okay.
That's one everybody covers.
In that world, it's like
the I Shot the Sheriff of the...
Or
a Johnny
Cash,
you know?
But they also had originals, though. They also had originals.
Yeah, of course,
right. Okay.
But some of the songs were supposed to be like that.
Okay.
I think this was one of them that's supposed
because
to be a traditional.
It's like a tribute
Still,
of the folk.
It's a dick move. Somebody somewhere fucked up that both these bands were going to play this, and it shortened the Folksman set, and that upset me.
They should have seen each other's set list.
They should have.
Yeah.
But one
out of courtesy.
One thing I noticed is when they played Never Did No Wandering, this is when Mitch wanders off.
Oh, I see what they did there. He was just looking for a rose.
Yeah. Mickey goes looking for him.
Yeah.
She has a great line.
If I was
line.
In New York, I would have done the same.
You
yeah.
would have just wandered
yeah.
into a
you
gift
would,
shop.
Yeah.
Into Times
you would have
Square
been probably just... looking for a different flower.
Possibly.
I love Mickey's line. She goes, Mitch could be lying face first in a ditch somewhere. It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And she like was like she's like he's so selfish. I did it again. Like it's not the first time that he just
he's aloof. He's a free spirit.
I can see Mitch wandering off. So you gotta take a walk.
Yeah.
So
he reminds me of people I know.
The Folksmen take the stage.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah, the Folksmen taking the stage is awesome.
Yes.
And they open with Eat at Joe's.
No, that's not the name of it.
What is it called?
Old Joe's Place.
Old Joe's Place. Eat at Joe's.
it's called Old Joe's Place. This is like their hit.
It is.
Because they debated in the dressing room earlier which one they should open with.
Yeah.
Should they do the hit? And one guy, Harry Shearer, who we haven't even talked about where...
Oh, he's amazing. He's 50 million characters on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
He's Principal Skinner.
I still
he's
hear...
He's the bassman and the bass player and the bass singer in The Folksmen.
He's also the bass player for Spinal Tap, Derek Smalls.
Yes. Who just put out a new album.
solo album.
I'm going to have to play that a little later here.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
That's why iTunes rocks.
a little off topic, but the song Big Bottoms by Spinal Tap, the triple bass song.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I really like how they ended his character too.
Which one?
She goes. It's very progressive.
Yes. The epilogue, nice.
Very nice. We'll get there.
But
trying not to be spoiled.
So while they're playing this, everyone's freaking out looking for Mitch, and they show the buffet table where they're running around.
I didn't notice what was on the buffet table.
Well, Jane Lynch and Parker Posey were hanging out at the buffet table, and they probably told the actors, okay, just hang out there and do something. So Jane Lynch gets a plate and loads this thing up with spaghetti. That's like a mound of fucking spaghetti. She has
ridiculous.
Like a huge pile.
Over
and she's just on piling it up in the background there.
Like, spaghetti.
I did notice like people eating spaghetti
for hours.
Like, but I didn't notice that one particular scene.
Did they eat spaghetti at dinner at her house?
I just remember the way she piles her plate. It's just ridiculous how she loads up.
Yeah, just insane. Yeah, she's just back there.
Absurd.
She knows what she's doing. She's just like, Did they tell her go back there and do something? Okay,
nobody's gonna
something.
Eat that much spaghetti.
I just remember it was
coming
weird.
Off the side.
Yeah, it's hanging off the edges and everything. And she's like, oh, whatever.
And then that's their faces, great. Like at the end scene, they're all it's like the old my face, just, like her and Parker Posey.
I'll have to watch that particular one. But I remember like seeing people eat spaghetti. I'm like, why is that? Why is spaghetti on a buffet table?
And it's plain spaghetti, no sauce.
Well, no, they had it separated. They had a big bowl of white noodles and like a separate thing of sauce.
So weird.
I seriously don't remember that table at all. I must have been paying attention to something else going on in the scene. I totally missed that.
Oh, I'm a fat kid. I was looking at the food. No.
Yeah, well, what happens is that they show in the background what's going on. Is I think Steinblum's talking with somebody about trying to find Mitch.
Right.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly who it was. Yeah, they're going on.
Yeah, they kind of let on that Catherine O'Hara let him on.
Oh, is that him and her? Is it him and
Mickey?
And that's
why they make the my face to each other.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't do it to Jane Lynch, though. They were
No
one noticed
there. Parker Posey kind of do it to each other after they leave the room. They're like,
oh, my.
But so they don't haven't found Mitch yet, and Folksman are still up there on the stage, and Simon goes out there and tells him to stretch it out. You know?
That's
So they do the Skeletons of Quinto intro to that song. That's what they're introducing.
They never actually play the song, though. We never hear Skeletons
of
Quinto.
I think it's on the soundtrack, though.
It is.
Is it? Okay.
It's a very dark song.
Eat some time. Where can you find us?
Is that the one that they were practicing and they decided not to do that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that one that they were practicing.
Civil War.
Yeah.
But then...
I liked that one.
It reminds me of Iron Maiden.
I worked the fields my father worked. From dawn till setting sun, my calloused hands and windburned face.
That would have been a bad idea.
Have marked me as a man.
That's not bad.
Who
has no voice, no rights, no hope, no place to cut away the hero thing. But I can't tell you.
The violin.
It was a little darker.
A little bit of Time in a Bottle underneath there.
The one that was added, the third one, the one that was the middle singer, he was like, I don't want to do that one. So we're going to open with Wanted or whatever.
Yeah.
This one, it's not in the movie. You might know the song. It's a folks one.
If you start me up.
Start me up.
If you start me up, I'll never stop.
I know the song.
Baby, start me up.
Start me up.
Baby, start me up. I'll never stop. I've been running hard.
Running hard.
You got me chicken, gonna blow my top. Baby, start me up.
You know what this is?
Start me up.
It's the Rolling Stones.
Baby, start me up. I'll never stop.
Really?
Oh,
start me up.
Yeah.
You make a grown man cry.
Oh, yeah.
You make a grown man cry.
It totally is.
You make a grown man
This is what we do, Jolene. This is us.
The gasoline, I walk smooth.
I like this guy's voice.
That's Principal Skinner.
I love his bass.
And like his handsome Dan or Dame from Wayne's World.
We're gonna get sued for playing all his music probably, but at least it means someone's listening.
Wait, what happened?
All rights reserved.
You make a grown man
cry.
Don't make a grown
man cry. And you can donate to our defense fund at Patreon. Drunk Film Commentary Defense Fund Patreon.
Or Drunk Film Commentary at yahoo.com.
Yes.
Either place. We'll take your credit card number no matter how you want to give it to us.
Oh, we're drunk. I guess you can be drunk if you want to give your credit card out while you're drunk. Hey, why not?
I encourage it.
I encourage, as long as you go to Patreon.
I don't know, I have a lot of fun on Amazon with my drunk credit card as well. Drunk Nadia by Sober Nadia, awesome presents. That's how I got that beautiful red dish strainer.
That's my favorite game.
Drunk.
Mystery package.
Mystery package.
What did I buy when I was drunk this time?
That's
we
a
still
thing.
Have 10 pounds of grass.
Is it knives? Is it a dress?
No, that's only 6 pounds. Oh, I put 6 pounds out in the yard. I used half that grass.
All right.
It was a good deal
on
Amazon, 12 pounds of grass. It's Canadian.
So Mitch returns.
Mitch, yay!
In the
he
nick
was
of
looking
time.
For a perfect
Wait, no,
rose.
5 minutes late. He's 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
A little late. So he's back, and Mitch and Mickey. Sometimes I think I'm... Natural Born Killers.
Oh, Mickey and Mallory.
Mickey and Mallory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
that's
that movie.
That's a very different
too.
Love
that's
story.
We should do that movie soon.
We've done, I've done that movie with, Justin and Danny.
Who'd you do it with?
That's a good movie.
That's one of my favorite. That was one of our top
downloads. The original DFC.
Yeah.
Much love to Danny and Justin.
But
I'm
hey,
proud of
we
you
are,
for working.
We are getting everyone together coming up.
At the end of this month. And like
that's right.
Yeah.
That's
three,
a big,
four weeks,
all the
right?
cast members
Jason's
from DFC
birthday weekend.
Are coming together for a very special episode where we're doing a script
one of
reading.
A kind podcast.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
the first
script
time
reading
for us.
Of Clerk. I'm sorry. I took
she
your
stole
thunder.
It from you.
That's right. Anyone listening this far deserves to know. Yep. So, it's, so that's coming up.
It's yeah. pretty exciting. You'll have it by July.
If you haven't guys gotten the hint yet, we really like Kevin.
He's our friend.
How many Kevin Smith movies?
I feel like I know Kevin Smith because I follow him on so many platforms and he's yeah. so personal and intimate. I have a false sense of relationship with him.
We've only done two Kevin Smith movies. We've done Chase and Amy and Tusk.
And now we're doing an actual script reading.
Well, this is totally different.
Yeah.
But okay,
but
that's
still wrote
next
it.
Time. Let's get back to
Mickey and Mitch.
And the big kiss comes up.
I know. It's so exciting. I have a lot of feelings about this.
Yeah.
This is my favorite song of the movie. Of,
it is very
of
pretty.
Everything.
I do like it.
I choose this.
I guess this was a big deal the whole time back when they were on TV. This is the big thing that they kissed.
It was the love affair. Yeah.
Yeah.
The public display of affection was neat.
But I totally, like, when they're playing this right now, I really noticed that she wasn't looking at him. And all through the interviews, it was always about him. It was always about him. And if you looked at the video, she was always staring at him while she was singing. She didn't look at the audience. And this time, she was looking at the audience, and Mitch was looking
See,
at her.
See, contrary, I was the dopey audience member who was like, oh my god, they kiss. And then when they kissed, I was like, I got all verklempt. I felt it. I was a little weepy, and my husband's like, did you cry? Shut up, I'm a crier.
Did nobody else realize that
I wanted
before?
Them to kiss. We wanted them to kiss. Nobody likes Train Guy.
This is one of the songs that Michael McKean and his wife wrote.
Aww.
Because I heard that and I noticed he's the one that in the dressing room goes, oh, it's a pretty song. Go figure.
And they all wanted to see if they kissed.
Yeah, the whole, all
bets.
The other musicians run out there. Yeah, they bet on it. That was kind of cool. They all run out there to see what's going
on. I wanted
happen.
Them to kiss. I was glad they kissed. I was like, do it. Real kisses.
And like all the music, everything they recorded was all live. That's the crazy thing, because all that stuff, even if the musicians do play the parts, usually they're at least overdubbed.
Yeah.
This was all the live shit recorded.
Nice.
You know, that's pretty awesome,
they,
yeah.
They don't make movies like this anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's a green screen now.
Or a computer.
So you gotta give the cast a whole lot of credit for
it. Oh, yeah.
That's why when it says written by Christopher Guest and Eugene Levy, I'm like, and everybody, you know, it's like,
yeah,
this is what
it was a team effort.
This is the definition of like a team effort
well,
around ensemble cast.
It was years in the making.
It was. It was very progressive.
When the folks went open,
that's why they kissed. Shut up.
The pause in the movie was really prolonged, though. And it
oh
was
yeah.
Like,
well, they waited. They stared at each other for a second. Yeah. And you thought, are they, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then he leaned over and you heard his guitar hit. And then everyone comes out for the big finale.
And yeah. it was a lingering kiss, too. It wasn't a tech. It was a little bit
and
of
he,
a lingering.
He cupped her chin gently.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
I felt it. It was like
it was
a goodbye
very
kiss.
Tender.
It was very tender. Yeah. They're all talking
about this mighty wind. And everyone comes out for this.
In the air.
It's a fart joke, pretty much. Made into the theme of the movie.
The name of the movie.
Yeah. It's a good tune. It's upbeat. It's happy.
Yeah.
Blowing equality. Come on. How can you not like it? Everyone has their little parts. It comes out. It's
yeah.
perfect finale, isn't
it's
it?
Cute.
Isn't
it's really.
It's cute.
Warm
it's
and
nice.
Fuzzies. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hear 20 guitars and 4 bass players or whatever it is, so I just hear like 3 or 4. But it's still a good
some
song.
Of them put their instruments down. That's how you can tell
yeah,
there was some
people
song.
Were just out there like doing like the chorus line.
Well, I told you earlier about what's his name? Chuck, the older guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, how he'd never played. Did I tell you about I didn't tell you about him, did I?
We grazed him, but we didn't go in deep.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see him a lot in this last song.
He's the only living original member.
Yeah, the older guy from the new Main Street Singers.
Yeah.
He never plays the guitar. He always holds it.
Right.
And he never plays it. And if you look close, he's the only one that doesn't have a mic cord sticking out of the back of his mic.
He's in it in name only, and he has no idea.
Yeah. He's just, well, he knows he doesn't play guitar, he just holds it.
Right.
And he kind of moves back and forth with it.
That's what I do.
And the story behind that was that on his first night, he spilled spaghetti sauce on his shirt, so he put his guitar up and held the guitar to cover up the stain.
Oh.
Why he still does it, I don't know, but.
Because that's his thing.
I guess.
That's his part. He's participating.
It's blowing equality.
So we get to the epilogue. This is 6 months later.
Post-credit, or post.
And we go to Mr. Fred Willard. He's ready to take
profit.
He's ready to take these singers to the next level. He's they're going to TV. They're going to TV show. He can't decide easily between them being babies or being Supreme Court justices.
So they're both.
It's like, oh, what should I do? I should do this, I should do that.
He's not sure if it's a new rule if they've gone from...
I'm not going to watch that show. Baby,
but they're
baby
court justices
judges.
At night, and then they're focusing, or during the day, and they're...
Yeah, but he's bouncing around ideas in his head. Mickey's still performing.
Yeah, by herself. She's doing Catheter, live action Catheter.
That Sure Flow song, that was...
Yeah. Sure Flow, yeah.
It was
so haunting.
Depressing.
It's kind of like a symbol of her life, how it turned out. Just she was like, ugh. They have that. That song's also on the DVD and the bonus features. The entire song's on there.
That's not how I want to picture my catheter.
But she's performing, though. It seems
She wrote that song.
It's nice that she brought it. I mean, it's nice that she kept music in her life after it was brought back into her life.
No, I really liked it because it seems like Mitch was like she took from Mitch what she was longing for all those years of and made it her own without having to have Mitch around. She still brought shit like that.
It became her music and not his.
She can do
That's
her
some
own
deep
thing.
Ass shit for this comedy, man.
She can do her own thing, even if it is just singing at medical
at a trade show.
At medical trade show, yeah.
It gave her purpose. Yeah. It's just like singing at the bar for 8 of your closest friends.
Like she said, I'm playing in front of hundreds of people, but none of them are looking.
If you watched her, no, if you watched her through
they're
the whole
never
movie,
watching.
Though,
it's
always
watching.
About Mitch. She always looked at him, and then when she was like, this is my new husband, look at what we're doing. It was always she was looking up at a male figure and not going for her own. It seemed like it, they'd really, I don't know, maybe.
So is this her breaking out of her shell?
A little bit. Yeah. She was bringing her youth but making her own and still living her own life, but yeah.
But Catheter's really, they're dessert talk.
I think she's married to a guy she doesn't like. And
Do you really think she would have been happy if she left her husband and went back to Mitch?
Yeah.
She didn't seem happy with him ever. You know, he's hanging out with Stifler's mom at the party.
Right.
He's got nothing else to do.
But she's busy being the talent. He's the wife. He has to just sit at the sidelines and wait.
And then when he's telling the story at lunch, she's like, isn't that dessert talk?
But when they went to the 6 months later,
nobody
wants
to hear about
her husband wasn't right by her side. So we don't even really know if he was in the picture.
Oh, he was there.
Oh, he was there? Okay.
He was in the back, with a dude.
He was in the back.
And
but if you looked
when
at
when she
the...
stopped, he clapped. He's like, come on.
Yeah, but if you watch beforehand, when he would step in, she'd let him talk, and she'd look at him like she would only look at Mitch. She'd let somebody else...
She's just a non-dominant personality.
Yeah, so it still seemed like she, even though it wasn't much, she was doing her own thing, and I kind of liked that.
Yeah.
She still found her little footing of what she could do, still...
Nate doesn't like some of the stuff I play, but I still practice them. You gotta do...
Or you're not making albums, but you're still playing on a daily basis, and that's good for you. You didn't do that for 30, but you brought that back.
Nice.
I didn't think it was kind of sad, and I like that she was in the forefront and not just sitting next to her
husband.
Right,
and that they just didn't get back together, and that would be too... You don't want them to... You don't really...
You didn't...
Oh,
The kiss was longing, but you didn't want them to get back together.
Right, it was closure. It was closure. It was beautiful. Yeah.
That's, but Mitch, he's going through a prolific
what does that even mean?
He's writing and he's creating things faster than he can write
them
down.
He's got writer's block. He's not producing it
from the psychiatric ward.
That's key for that. That's code for he's doing nothing but pretending that he's doing everything.
Yeah, you've met some other artists in the same fashion.
Yeah. And I don't even know if they're artists. They're more mathematicians, actually.
He's never been in.
This is what I talked about earlier, that they thought about having him be in the insane asylum.
It was like a hotel room.
Yeah, he's in somewhere, yeah. And we go to the Folksmen. They're performing in the Little Big Room at a casino.
But there's fancy been place.
They looked like waiters
big
or like
little change for them. The Folksmen, their bassist, decided he's actually a blonde woman trapped in the body
of a Folksman singer. Of a folk singer instead of a man.
So he's still the bass, but now he wears a blonde wig. And I thought he looked really great, but my only concern was that
eyebrows.
He needed to wax his eyebrows. Yeah, that was.
But you know,
if he'd done his eyebrows, it would have been a great. He would have looked just
they
fine.
They did a good job with the wig, though, because I know
it
he
was
wouldn't.
A nice
he
cut.
Wasn't going to. Willing to wax his eyebrows, I understand that.
I wish he would.
But they have a heavy bang to try to cover it to make the most of it. So.
But it would have been more believable.
Like,
that
if these guys, like, what the. A Wait. Bang. A heavy full, bang. Right. Like, a full bang to, like, try to cover.
It was a blunt. It was an Emily cut. It was a bob okay. with blunt bangs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember it,
though. Right. But his makeup looked pretty, and his face was shaven, and he looked really nice, and his outfit was nice. But his eyebrows ruined it. His eyebrows, like, were more attention than his Adam's apples. So, like, if you just cleaned him up a little bit, it would have been better.
It would have really, been better, but just, for that one
it,
little
it
bit
funny.
Of a scene, to actually have to do that, no.
Okay.
No, it was good.
We film
good.
It at the end.
It was good.
I thought it was one of the jokes
to the
that
point.
Fell a little flat. I was like, eh.
It's
okay.
Very progressive.
There's some now,
2003 compared to now. That's very progressive.
There's some Chinese now rocking beards, so more power to them.
What, baby?
Who cares?
A little ahead of it.
Yeah, a little ahead of its time.
I wonder if he played as a girl when they came back and played in 2009. He should have.
He should have.
If it was canon.
If it was canon.
You have to,
that's
right?
A very good point.
Yeah.
Unless it didn't work, unless it was only a phase, which we don't know.
Maybe. Then we go to the end credits. Did you guys notice these?
No. I didn't watch the credits all the way through.
Oh, you didn't see the credits pop up of the actors and stuff?
I didn't pay attention. What did we miss?
Well, they had, like, the whole screen was all the characters' names. And then just, they, like, highlighted in alphabetical order. They highlight each name.
Yeah.
So it was like an ensemble cast, truly.
Okay.
Nobody was, like, singled out, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was a group effort.
Yeah.
There's a few deleted scenes in there that I can bring up. There's one where there's a press conference going on, and John Michael Higgins, you know, the boner guy, he talks about how they try to get rap into the music. He said that fans threw a dog at them and then set their stage on fire. I thought that was pretty funny. So there's a Mickey and Mallory rehearsal where they're doing this horrible song where Mickey's banging on a drum and Mallory's... or
Mitch. Mickey.
Mick.
Not Mickey and Mallory.
And one's banging on a tambourine. So... Yeah, there's quite a few deleted scenes on there.
We missed them.
Yeah.
Slackers.
Oh, there's another scene at the buffet table where there's a bunch of people around, the same buffet table, and Fred Willard's talking to Stein with him, and he's trying to get him to, he's like offering to open up the show with some stand-up comedy.
Okay.
Like, hey, you know, I can go up there and do like 10 minutes before we warm up the audience and blah, blah, blah.
That was the one that said he was also a singer? Which one was
that?
Fred Willard.
The movie producer with the spiky blonde hair.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what happened?
One full of jokes. He got jokes.
I still love the dynamic between Steinberg and the guy that was setting up the place, like the mic stand.
Oh, the liaison guy, yeah.
The guy that was like, I'm a singer. That guy. Oh, my God. Are those lights up there? Yeah, it's a ceiling, too.
And that about does it for Mighty Wind.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not angry at all.
That's good. That's good.
It's new for drunk film commentary.
I feel like I have to watch it again because
there's
some
little things.
Yeah, because I just watch it. But I feel like I picked up some that you guys
didn't see.
Yeah. Either.
Yeah. Perspective is everything. Everybody sees things a little differently.
So we got
to we all enjoyed it. I mean.
No, it was fun. I was impressed with the music. With it all being original and it's supposed to be more
them doing it
funny.
Themselves?
For
was
sure.
It being really,
that's
it was
great.
Still full-rounded, very.
Well, then we can talk about the humor of the movie, too.
Yeah.
It does have like a dry humor.
It's very womp womp.
Which I like too, yeah.
But like that's very British kind of like,
it was Monty Python-esque for you.
And Mr. Beam and,
Fawlty Towers.
What was the...
The Young Ones.
Were there in the shopping
all
mart?
All the
thank
British
you
ones.
For your service. I don't remember. The shopping mart.
That's
it.
The one I don't know.
Alright, well we're gonna rate the movie.
Out of...
We,
what's the rating system, Jason?
The rating system goes like by beers.
It's like
how many beers are you gonna have?
Like
with
a
this guy?
One beer or a six pack
or a
case.
You can get, you can go as high as a keg, I guess.
Okay.
And you can go as low as a tapper.
So
like a dollar clearance tapper, like the day after St. Patrick's Day, still green beer. Nobody wants to drink for a dollar tapper.
Wow.
Or,
that's pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
So far, we haven't had any of those movies. Okay. I don't think so.
But let's start off. And volunteers.
I'll start off.
All right, Addy.
So every time we do drunk film commentary, I'm very passionate, and I'm usually rather angry. But this movie brought me a lot of joy and showed me that it's okay to cover your demons with folk music. And so for that, I give it a quarter barrel.
Wow.
A quarter? Oh.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I love Christopher Guest in general, everything he's been in, everything his ensemble's been in since, you know, Beetlejuice in 89, since childhood. And yeah, definitely. And then I think it stands up like it was 2003. Yeah. Now we're 2018. And I enjoy it just the same. You know,
15 years. Yeah.
Yeah, the jokes aren't the kind of jokes that lose their punch with time. And the comedic timing was great. So top notch for me. I'm a happy kid.
Nice.
All right. Am I next then?
Sure.
Can I go off the beaten path and give it a solid 18 pack? I feel like I need to watch it more.
Okay.
So like I'm between like a six pack and a case.
Oh.
Like I enjoyed it. I had like, but there's a lot of, it's dry. I had to be in a certain mood for it. And I feel like if I watch it over and over again, I can pick up some more of the things that you guys knew more than I did.
Cool. All right.
For Jolene, no, I did enjoy Coors Light on sale.
But it wasn't like me like laughing the whole time or like at the edge of my seat.
It's not supposed to be like that.
No.
Yeah, it was a little dry. Like a it's ride. A little bit slower. And I did it. And that's like an easy six pack, like close to a case. You know what I mean? It's a like nice.
You're drunk, but you're not wasted.
You're going to slowly sit into it and like it's an easy ride. You know what I mean? That's why I said an 18 pack, you know? Between a six pack and a case.
Right.
Like, you're not partying hard.
Like
you're not, like, just trying to get over it. You're, like,
right. You're grooving.
Yeah.
You leave it on while you're cleaning.
Well, no.
You enjoy
I'll
the singing.
In there. I'll sit in there and watch it. No, it's not. It's
she
more
just plays the soundtrack. She just skips the fucking movie altogether from now on.
I like a lot of humor, a lot of gore. But, like, I gotta be. I like it. It was good. I enjoyed
it's
it.
Cute,
I feel
right?
like I gotta watch it a couple more times to truly appreciate it and pick up more on more of the little mannerisms
the subtleties.
Between it. And knowing that it's more improv and stuff like that. It's one of those you have to really settle in and appreciate it, not just throwing it anytime.
After all the things I've learned tonight, it'll be a different movie the next time I watch it.
Yeah,
too.
And I feel like I'll appreciate
it more.
So a
little Nightmare Before Christmas.
The first time I ever
that's
watched
what we
it was
give
last
to people
night.
And listen.
Yeah.
Give them a different.
The first time I ever saw it was last night, and I had to hurry up and watch it. I worked all day today. I just feel like I will appreciate
it more with
time.
I know, we just dropped this movie on you recently.
Yeah, like 2 months ago. Love you, boo.
I kept on trying to flip through it to see if it would be on an instant stream.
Not free.
Or
yeah. Not free.
I was trying not to pay for it.
Did I have to, like, hold your hand and bring you to the video store? And make you give
yes.
the guy $1 and
will
four
pennies?
Will
you pick me up and drive me to the video store
and I didn't
and
think
home
I need
again.
To have to watch it four times before I before we did this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but no. The weekend before was a holiday weekend. We had
it's
a
okay.
show.
It's fine.
The
we
last,
love you.
Like, month has been busy.
You watched
okay.
it.
I watched it.
So what was your rating? I'm sorry, 18
an
pack? 18 right.
pack of Coors Light on sale.
Right.
I'm sorry you didn't watch it in 2003 and had it on repeat
it's
all right.
for
24
You were barely out of high
Jason.
School.
All
right, it's all right. You had other things to do.
I'll give this movie a full case. All
right.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. The music's great.
But you don't love it?
I enjoy the dry humor. I mean, that's right up my...
You have to be in a mood for it, though.
I get all this subtle joke over a lot of people.
Nice. All right.
It just all seems right. like catch more of those the more times you watch it. Too.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Repeated view, you'll catch more of those.
I feel like everybody had a history with this movie except for me.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
We're older than you, though.
You can see it again.
A sconch.
All right,
Jason,
cool.
how all about right. you, buddy?
Well, see, like, just looking at the movie itself, I'd probably give it about a, you know, a case or a quarter barrel, probably. Somewhere in there. But because this movie, what these actors did, and as far as they took their character, how so many of them learn their instruments, they learn how to sing and key, they learn these harmonies, they nailed this shit.
That's amazing.
That's bonus points.
Yeah.
And that
sure.
bumps
yeah.
you up to a fucking keg.
Nice, yay.
So that bumps them up to a keg because they have that.
Right.
I give them that.
Legitimate talent.
So
it's
yeah,
not,
if you're a musician at all, you really should
I'll
see
I'll give
this.
The soundtrack
oh, yeah.
of this movie a keg. Dude.
Yeah, the
oh,
soundtrack
yeah.
is on.
Definitely the soundtrack, okay.
Yeah.
That's on Spotify. You can find it right there.
It's a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
hear those songs completely, not hear Potato in the Batty Wagon in full.
It
every
made me
line.
Go.
not just
the... All right, that's TFC for today. Thank you for listening this far. I'm Jason.
Jolene
and Nadia,
and we're signing off. Find us Drunk Film Commentary at yahoo.com. Anything else?
And on Patreon at Drunk Film Commentary.
Yes. Anything else?
And if you donate $20, you can pick the next movie that we do on Drunk Film Commentary.
Oh, boy. All right. Stay tuned. Next, we're going to talk about our top five diegetic songs in film.
You're going to learn what the word diegetic means.
Later.
Yeah.